Scott, that's jwelfare.com. Final Days Report, episode 428. Hologram tech, the next generation technology being discussed by Sam Altman and others as this new secretive project, new company that they're launching. Is this the image that speaks that will replace the cell phone? Off camera today, but the first story I want to cover, folks, this AIB system is running so fast. Buried in Trump's big, beautiful bill is a clause that would ban states from regulating artificial intelligence for 10 years. They're making their move. Probably 30 to 40% of our podcasts have talked about AI as the little all-knowing God. When you're hooked up to this artificial intelligence with bio-digital convergence, the brain-computer interface, you'll just be a mind control slave. Everything will be measured. Every node of grass will be measured. Google 3.0, the final government, according to Klaus Schwab. Doge is E-God spelled backwards. This is nothing short of technocratic digital rule. And then you need to think about central bank digital currencies, FedNow that measures everything. ID 2020, all of this comes into play. And Stargate, Starlink, this is iron mixed with clay, my friends. And you couple it with Trump's trip to Muslim nations, pushing AI everywhere. You couple it with Israel IDF high-level soldiers working for Meta. I mean, it's one big club. It's one big club, my friends. But here's the hero story I want to cover. I'm going to play a video from Antichrist 45, Brother Paul's channel. He talks about the secret device that is going to be unleashed, and Sam Altman and another high-powered techie executive that I guess is involved in the iPhone creation is basically going to talk about their next thing that they're going to launch. I think they're talking about a hologram, and then I'm going to read an article next that talks about this convergence, this bio-digital convergence that's just creepy beyond belief. But as I play this 7-minute video, I want to read Revelation 13, 15. And he had the power to give life onto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. I think this image of the beast from the dream I had is a hologram. And the Antichrist with a fake resurrection will be tied up to artificial intelligence. This is the dream I had in 2008. And then will show up as a hologram. And so is this hologram technology? Because they're talking about not needing screens. Will a hologram show up and be your screen that you can actually maneuver in midair? I don't know. This is just kind of my two cents on this. How will this take over the cell phone, your AI assistant? It's a little device. I think it's going to project a hologram. What do you say in the comments? Let's roll it.
Yesterday, the Wall Street Journal posted a short but fascinating article about a mystery device that OpenAI chief executive Sam Altman is developing with Johnny Ive, who was the chief architect of the iPhone. The article referred to what are called AI companions and Altman's plans to ship 100 million of them, hoping they will become a part of everyday life. Now, AI companions already exist as software or applications designed to simulate human-like interactions, and as the name suggests, they can provide companionship through AI, at least virtual companionship. However, the new device that Altman and Ive hope to release next year takes the AI companion to a new level. Let me show you what I mean. First, here are two quotes from the Wall Street Journal article, and then I have a short video of Altman and Ive speaking. I'll put a link below to both of these. The product will be capable of being fully aware of a user's surroundings and life, will be unobtrusive, able to rest in one's pocket or on one's desk. The journal earlier reported that the device won't be a phone and that Ive and Altman's intent is to help wean users from screens. Altman said that the device isn't a pair of glasses and that Ive had been skeptical about building something to wear on the body. If that rather opaque description of this device doesn't reveal much, here are a few short clips from a video on OpenAI's YouTube channel in which Altman and Ive discuss what this new device will be and that their new company will be called Io.
I think we have the opportunity here to kind of completely reimagine what it means to use a computer. We are sitting at the beginning of what I believe will be the greatest technological revolution of our lifetimes.
I have a growing sense that everything I have learned over the last 30 years has led me to this place and to this moment.
2 years ago, John and I started talking about what the future of AI and new kinds of computers was going to look like. I was running OpenAI. Johnny's running a design firm called LoveFrom that had established itself as really the, I think, densest collection of talent that I've ever heard of in one place and probably has ever existed in the world. And it became very quickly apparent to both of us that we needed a third company.
A year ago, I founded IO with Scott Cannon, Evans Hanke, and Tang Tan, who are the most extraordinary engineers. They have built a team of remarkable subject matter experts that range from hardware and software engineering, physicists, researchers, product manufacturing experts. And so IO is merging with OpenAI.
Formed with the mission of figuring out how to create a family of devices that would let people use AI to create all sorts of wonderful things.
The first one we've been working on, I think, has just completely captured our imagination.
You know, Johnny called one day and said, this is the best work our team has ever done. Yeah. I mean, Johnny did the iPhone. Johnny did the MacBook Pro. I mean, these are like the defining ways people use technology. It's hard to beat those things. Those are really wonderful. Johnny recently gave me one of the prototypes of the device for the first time to take home, and I've been able to live with it, and I think it is the coolest piece of technology that the world will have ever seen.
The products that we're using to deliver and connect us to unimaginable technology, they're decades old.
Yeah.
And so it's just common sense to at least think, surely there's something beyond these legacy products.
We have, like, magic intelligence in the cloud. If I wanted to ask ChatGPT something right now about something we had talked about earlier, think about what would happen. I would, like, reach down, I would get on my laptop, I'd open it up, I'd launch a web browser, I'd start typing, I'd have to, like, explain that thing, and I would hit enter, and I would wait, and I would get a response. And that is at the limit of what the current tool of a laptop can do. But I think this technology deserves something much better. I want this to be democratized. I want everybody to have it. I don't want it to be the tiny percentage of the population that figures out how to use bad tools and is really smart. I want anybody to say, hey, I have this idea, make it happen. You talk to people who use our latest model and say this is like genius level in every field and you just have to put in the work to like pull it all together. But if you have a hard problem, you can have this like team of geniuses in all of their different disciplines and they report, I'm 2 or 3 times more productive as a scientist than I was before. I'm 2 or 3 times faster to find a cure for cancer than I was before because I have this incredible external brain. That just didn't exist 6 months ago. I think this will be one of these moments of just an absolute embarrassment of riches of what people go create for collective society.
I am absolutely certain that we are literally on the brink of a new generation of technology that can make us our better selves.
So here are a few quick takeaways on the video you just watched and the Wall Street Journal article. This mystery device is still about a year away. It is not a phone nor wearable technology such as glasses. It is designed to be your third primary device alongside your laptop or desktop and phone. It will enable anyone to easily and immediately use AI for any idea or project. In the video, Altman referred to this mystery device as giving us access to an incredible external brain and how that possibility didn't exist just 6 months ago. But as lofty as their intentions might be, in potentially having 100 million people access this incredible external brain, the fact is that scientists have been warning us about AI for several years now. We don't really have a handle on controlling this technology or any concept of where it might go, or even what doors it might open to unseen worlds. But in about a year, millions of people will have their very own Pandora's box.
What comes to mind, too, is Meta, this third space, your digital twin. I can see a hologram showing up with the Antichrist. I can see your digital twin hologram. All of this just seems to be morphing in to this bio-digital convergence. Do you see it? This screams image of the beast to me, my friends. And I was doing research. It gets even more creepy. This is from Psychology Today, talking about this invention. Are Sam Altman and Johnny Ive creating cognitive hardware? Perhaps the new tech heading our way will be a device for thought itself. What? Let's read. One is the architect of modern AI landscape, the force behind chat, GPT, the scaffolding of synthetic thought. The other is the design mind who sculpted the iPhone and Apple Watch and arguably the emotional resonance of personal technology. Now they've joined forces. OpenAI has acquired Ive's design firm, Loveform, for $6.5 billion in stock. And they have been working on something quietly, deliberately for 2 years. The cognitive age, as I've argued many times, large language models don't just inform our decisions, they shape the architecture of our thought. They scaffold memory, catalyze creativity, and even prompt self-reflection. But right now, assessing the intelligence still creates friction. Really? Accessing that intelligence creates friction? See, marketers and everybody's like, what's the problem to solve? We need to unlock a phone, type a prompt, think in syntax. The future is a device that dissolves that barrier entirely. What Altman and Ive might be building is a cognitive anchor, an ambient context-aware object that lives on our desk or in our pocket. Always turn to your environment, your intent, and your evolving cognitive state. This sounds like a nightmare. It may have no screen at all. It may respond to voice, glance, or presence. It may offer proactive insight for reactive answers. It will be silent when it should be, unless you're hooked up to it, with brain-computer interface, bio-digital convergence, and intelligence enough to know when to speak. I mean, there's a lot to unpack there, but bottom line, people are going to give away their free will to this artificial intelligence monster. It's getting there, my friends. All right. If you follow our ministry, I had a dream of these central bankers that were Jewish. We're going to do false flags on Jews. You can go back and listen to the dream where, and I've always said, if you're Jewish, have your head on a swivel. Because they're and false flags does not mean somebody did not die. But it happened a while ago, but just this, the two Israeli embassy staffers, so get this, they're Israeli embassy staffers shot dead outside DC's Capitol Jewish Museum. So you have a double hit. Because the man was Christian, supposedly. It's reported. So they're taken out. And what happens in all of a sudden, they're pushing for anti-Semitic laws. This is nothing short of doing two things: banning the Bible and censoring the internet. This is from the Jerusalem Post, how the Council of Nicaea intensified anti-Semitism and a Bible ban. Congress moves to ban parts of the Bible that mention Christ being killed by Jews. That is the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act. There's a lot of push back to that, but they need to keep priming. Because the war is against Christianity. Against the ultimate war is against Christians, if you have eyes to see. So censorship is a big play here. What I thought was interesting is this video where he said, free Palestine. So somebody took a shot of the person arrested, and he's saying, free Palestine. So then all of a sudden, You see this in the news. For those who warned of free Palestine violence, fatal shooting at DC Jewish Museum offers grim validation. So they want to go after free speech, free Palestine. And of course, I don't condone taking these people down. But is this a false flag? Did somebody actually target these two people with this narrative? I mean, some of the people giving post assassination interviews look like they were just bad C-plus actors. Will the Capitol Jewish Museum shooting lead Trump to crack down on even more pro-Palestinian activists? No, people just want the genocide to end. People understand, and even Jews understand, that October 7th was a stand down, a false flag. Choppers didn't go up to take them out in, you know, for 6-7 hours, 5 hours. Right? A mouse hits the fence, and in 2 minutes, there'll be Jeeps there. None of that. They wanted it to be gruesome and bloody. Don't fall for any of it, my friends. All right, here's the goal. And again, I had that dream that Jewish people will be targets for the One World Agenda. And here this guy from, what is he, from the National Director of Anti-Defamation League. Here he goes. He's pushing for anti-free speech. You can just see the playbook.
But all of us need to call it out. I'm thinking about the New York Times doing a gauzy profile a few weeks ago of this gamer, Hassan Piker, who regularly employs awful genocidal rhetoric against Jewish people in the Jewish state. Like, extremists should not be empowered. People who spout prejudice should not be platformed. This is a moment when we need to look ourselves in the mirror and say, we've got to stop this because the consequences are deadly.
See, it's so easy to see the playbook. Most people just want the genocide and the starvation of kids to stop and the taking of the land for the natural gas resources, the Riviera of Gaza. It's really quite a clown show. Homeland Security, this is where it gets a little creepy. Homeland Security gets involved because you need to think Noahide laws. When they implement Noahide laws, and you don't want to take and sign up for Noahide laws in their Mark of the Beast system, Homeland Security is going to be involved. He advised to see Harvard is being held accountable for collaboration with the CCP, fostering violence, anti-Semitism, and pro-terrorist conduct from students on its campus. What about the bioweapons from the colleges and universities given or sent over to China? I mean, come on. They use China when it fits their purpose. But this is just a little creepy. Big picture creepy when Noahide laws get implemented. And this is an end of days news ministry as the days of Noah. Bird flu vaccine for cows passes early test. Researchers have tested an mRNA vaccine against avian influenza in calves and promising results. Really? It's just the defilement of God's creation. As the bird flu sweeps across U.S. poultry and cattle farms, researchers are racing to find ways to contain the outbreaks before they ignite a human pandemic. Now the team of scientists has developed a fresh approach, the first mRNA bird flu vaccine for cattle. Early findings posted this month on the preprint server BioRxiv, however you pronounce that, reveal that the experimental vaccine triggers a strong immune response to the virus and protects against infection in calves. The results have not yet been peer-reviewed. This is garbage as the days of Noah. I bind it all in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, I want to end with a video from Whitney Webb about the big picture of this AI enslavement system. She uses some pretty good words, but what she misses here, she misses bio-digital convergence, but she basically will say that people will be slaves with artificial intelligence. She's right, but there's bio-digital convergence. I did not hear her mention that. And then I don't think she's a Christian. She misses prophecy. This is that fourth beast system, iron mixed with clay. But let's summarize. Is that technology that Altman's working on, is that some sort of hologram? or synthetic thought is even more creepy, where you're hooked up to artificial intelligence. Both of them are nefarious. And then Trump's pushing this big, beautiful bill that won't allow states to combat. So you need to think about this. When it gets hot and heavy and AI is running the world, you can't run to a state that says, no, your AI policy doesn't work here. Your AI e-gov doesn't work here. And then we covered the mRNA DNA defilement, which is wicked. And obviously the incident with the with a Christian man and a Jewish woman working for the Israeli embassy and went to a Jewish event, gunned down. Something smells with that. I'm not saying they didn't die. Something smells scripted. Free Palestine. Then we get everybody calling against free speech. And I'm telling you, I had that dream again, if you're Jewish, of central bankers doing false flags against their own people to fit an agenda. So have your head on a swivel, and more importantly, come to Christ. Read Isaiah 52 and 53. Let's play this video and have a blessed day. Thank you for your support. We need it.
AI weapon stuff in the U.S. that's also being tested. Not just, I mean, Israel has their own, but the U.S. has it too. It's being tested in Ukraine to decide who lives and dies. It's Peter Thiel and Palmer Luckey, who created Oculus, which was sold to Facebook because of Peter Thiel, and all of this stuff. It's the same crowd. Peter Thiel runs Palantir, that you harvest your data for intelligence agencies. Every intelligence agency in the U.S. uses it. It has to be done as people have to divest from Silicon Valley and Wall Street as much as possible. Because basically, what I call the blob that basically runs the U.S., it's the national security state, it's Silicon Valley, and it's Wall Street, okay? Mm-hmm. It's harder to divest from the U.S. government if you're living in the U.S. than it is to divest from big tech and Wall Street. You can take your money out of J.P. Morgan and Wells Fargo and Citi, and you can stop using Google products, Microsoft products. You can not use OpenAI, maybe, which is basically Microsoft, and all of this other stuff, because they plan to do a lot of bad stuff with your data, like a lot of very bad things. Here's an example that's very blackpilling. Sorry, everybody. Okay, so what's going on right now in Israel, right? The IDF uses an AI algorithm called, that they literally call, the gospel. And they said, the IDF officials have said that before the gospel, they identified 15, 20 targets to assassinate in Gaza a day. Now that they use the gospel, the AI algorithm identifies hundreds. Right? And what are the metrics for identifying who gets to live and who dies? Well, they won't tell anybody. But a lot of the people that have been killed have been women and children. Was it because they liked a post that Hamas made on a social media network? Was it because their cousin is in Hamas? Was it because they went to a person's house who a relative of Hamas lives there? I mean, it's very broad, isn't it? No one really knows. So it's very likely that because of the surveillance dragnet that Israeli cybersecurity companies test out first in Palestine and then export around the world, because that cybersecurity segment of Israel's economy is like a major part of their GDP, and they test it out there, right? So Palestinians are some of the most surveilled, data-harvested people on the planet. This data that's been harvested on Palestinians is now being used to decide which of them are blown up or not.
Yeah.
What happens when we get to that point? Do you know who runs the AI weapon stuff in the U.S. that's also being tested? Not just, I mean, Israel has their own, but the U.S. has it too. It's being tested in Ukraine to decide who lives and dies. It's Peter Thiel and Palmer Luckey, who created Oculus, which was sold to Facebook because of Peter Thiel, and all of this stuff. It's the same crowd. Peter Thiel runs Palantir, that you harvest your data for intelligence agencies. Every intelligence agency in the U.S. uses it, and it profiles people, and they can label you as subversive. And Palantir is the outgrowth of Total Information Awareness that I mentioned earlier. Palantir was literally created to replace that. It's involved with the border stuff, too. Well, they have this huge surveillance autonomous dragnet on the border Anduril set up. It's obviously not stopping people from coming in. Is it to stop people from coming out? They want everyone's data. I mean, data has been a huge part of this play for a really long time. And now we're giving away more of our data than ever in more intimate parts of our data. And now they have tools that use that data that can do awful things if we let them. And it doesn't mean we have to live without AI or any of this stuff. Like, if you want to use it, okay, but we have to divest from big tech AI, because they are trying to use AI to turn us into a giant underclass of subhumans who, I mean, this Kissinger Schmidt book is so crazy, and I encourage everyone to read it, because they literally lay out that it's going to create neo-feudalism. They don't use that term, but basically they say there will be two classes of people. There will be the people that program and maintain and set the objective functions of AI. And then there will be the people that AI acts upon, who lose the ability to understand what AI is doing to them. Yeah, that's neo-feudalism. But obviously it's big tech and everyone else is essentially what that is. And the people who set the objective function, I'm sure, will be existing oligarchs and existing power elites. Yeah. Once that system's in place, you're not going to break and get into the top tier. That's over. AI will act on you, will manipulate you in ways you don't understand.